joined by Kurt Apsey, Boise State's athletic director. This is a Thursday at 5 o'clock, after all. So the Boise State athletic director joins us. If you have a question or a comment for Kurt, just hashtag it, AskTheAD. You can also get to our commercial tire text line at 424-9300. Kurt, I don't know where to start, but I can just speak for, let's see here. Bill McNeil, Boise 1932, the Orange Jacket guy, Chase Hatata, Ashley Ambrose, Atherton Locksmith, and I cannot go into the rest of them. Okay?
It's too many, is that what you're saying? As long as this isn't about college basketball, no, we're good.
They want to know about clocks and what can be done about what happened last night to Boise State. Just to summarize where we're at with this, Boise State loses a game to Colorado State. James Webb hits a three-pointer with, most people thought, enough time, but the referees reviewed it, and when they reviewed the official replay monitor with an embedded digital clock, the Mountain West officials determined it was 1.2 seconds to get that shot off, not the under the .8. The shot's no good. Boise State loses the game in the second overtime. Today, the clock gets the video of how they came to the decision gets released through YouTube. You, me, and JP, and anybody that wants to see it can. In there, when you watch it, there's no question that the official replay monitor clock is faster than the arena clock at Fort Collins at Colorado State, which makes for a dicey situation. Let's talk about that first. What can you do about that? And what do you know anything differently than us?
Well, I'm certainly not the technical expert, so I try not to make decisions without really truly knowing the facts. And I'm not going to lie, you see that video, and it certainly makes you wonder. And I know that there's a lot of Bronco fans and college basketball fans in general just going, you know, what the heck's going on? And so I think as the athletic director, I have to make the call and I have to reach out to the conference. And, you know, I'm certainly not the first one that's done that today or over the past couple of days. So what I can tell you is they are obviously looking into that as well. We do not have a response or an answer yet from them. But to answer your question, what can be done? I mean, I can pick up the phone. Other folks on our campus can pick up the phone and call them. Obviously, Leon is involved with officials all the time, and he stays in contact with those guys. And so I hope people don't think we're just sitting back and taking whatever it is it ends up being. If we've got a question about something, or we might be suspicious, or we just want some answers, I mean, we certainly just, we don't sit back and wait. We pick up the phone and we call them. And so they are in the process of looking into this, I guess, second part of this now is what it is. And I'm sure that they'll gather all the information and come up with some type of response here in the near future.
What would be a satisfactory response? I know Boise State fans want a victory switch. That's not going to happen, nor do I think anybody with a brain thinks that that's smart to make that happen. We can't open up that precedent. But what would be a satisfactory response from the Mountain West at this point?
For us, I'm looking for the facts. You know, I mean, if you're asking me if I think we deserve an apology, I can tell you that the conference is they know how we feel about this, and they've been apologetic as much as they can be. You know, I don't know, Mike. Yeah, I want a victory, just like our coach does, and just like our players and our fans do. I'm not sure if that would ever happen. It's never happened before, at least to my knowledge, and so. You know, we're not taking this lightly. I don't think it's absolutely done yet. We have inquired. I can tell you guys that. And as I think we should. And I don't know what the expectation is. I'd rather just kind of wait and see what they decide at the end of the day, and then we'll go from there.
Well, that was the question. So normally, 99% of the time, they don't reverse the decision. Is it realistic to even dream that they could possibly say, if it's conference impactful to the seating or something, we'll replay this game or whatever, or is that just a pipe dream? It's never been done that I know of.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you make a decision like that based upon whether or not it affects postseason. I mean, to me, that's making the decision for the wrong reason. I think you make the decision because you think it's the right decision. And so, hey, I'll just say this. I've never seen it happen before, but there's always a first time.
And right.
I don't know if it's going to be in this case or not. You know, Mike, you mentioned why open up a can of worms like that. I think you open it up if you think you're making the right decision, regardless of whether you open up a can of worms or, You think it affects postseason play? I don't think that's the reason you make the decision. I think you get the facts. You look at the rules, get everything in line, really, really research it and investigate it and make sure that you have all the information. And then you make the decision that you think is right at the end of the day. And we'll see how that turns out.
Well, it's just typical relationship building stuff on some level, I think, because odds are you're not going to get a reversal on the game decision. But the next time there's a decision made about Boise State in particular, you want them to know, I'm always going to ask you what's going on.
Yeah.
Isn't that accomplished?
I think so, yeah. And that'll continue, you know. And I guess it's almost like if you're in a game and a ref makes, you know, two or three or four calls that maybe are questionable against you, it always seems to weigh out the same at the end of the game. And I don't know if they're that good to where they actually say, hey, you know, we're way behind giving Boise State fouls, so let's give them some more. I don't think it necessarily happens that way, but it evens out in the end. They know we're concerned. They're aware that we've reached out, and they're looking into it. So
we've learned a lot in the last 24 hours about this. One, that you can kind of review the clock and the way they reviewed it last night. And two, all this technological stuff. Who knew that there were stopwatches embedded into this and that and frames per second? Is there some kind of ritual that goes on before college basketball games that we don't know, where somebody comes in and checks the calibration of clocks and checks the calibration of shot clocks and looks at the scoreboard and makes sure it's all synced up with the television? Does that process go on every home basketball game?
I don't know if it goes on every home basketball game, but usually when you have instances like this, all of a sudden we've got two or three extra guys at our games making sure that all those things are checking out the right way. And who knows? That certainly might be required going forward because of something like this happening.
Well, there you go, Kurt. What is the precision timing system that, according to the Mountain West administration, stopped the clock accurately at exactly the correct spot when most people, including the ESPN announcers, thought it should be 1.2 seconds instead of 0.8 seconds when the backcourt violation occurred? So, to me, the takeaway I get from the question, and I appreciate it, is what muddies it is when you get a national news network that dominates people's attention, and they're out there saying, Boise State got hosed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making the point. They're putting it in one, two, three shows that we've watched in the 2 hours we've been sitting here. They've debated it with well-respected journalists. They've got their own evidence that they're putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of impact does that have and how it shakes the bush up? I mean, doesn't it put the conference up against the wall almost, against ESPN?
I would say that certainly happens. Hey, we're the top story.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I wanted it because of us being in this position, but
right.
I'm sure glad they're talking about Boise State on the national level. And, you know, when ESPN speaks up, I think people listen. But again, I go back to making sure that we're gathering all the facts, which I know they are. And believe me, I'm not supporting us or them either way. What I'm saying is, They made a decision, and now they've obviously gathered some additional information, and they're looking into it. And I'm not going to make a judgment until I hear the whole story and why the judgment was made and what kind of decision they come up with. And if I feel it needs to be questioned at that point, it certainly will.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Stay with the subject of basketball. The NCAA at large berth for Boise State could be a difficult one to get this season, yet there's other basketball tournaments, including the NIT or the CBSI. And if the other one's still around, I can't recall what were the initials for the
College Insider, CIT?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So there's other
CBI.
CBI.
I believe it was the other one.
So there's other opportunities. How do you analyze whether that's a good thing to bring that to Taco Bell Arena or not?
Well, with most of those, there's usually a guarantee involved. So we've got to look at the financial side of it. In some of those tournaments, you're able to keep the ticket revenue. In others, you got to give away the net ticket revenue. We've also got to look at the schedule of the arena. For example, we're hosting the Mountain West Gymnastics Championships. I think it's right in the middle of March. And so that's, I think we talked about gymnastics either last week or the week prior and how good our team is doing. So we got to juggle a lot of things. But at the end of the day, if we think we can make a run at a tournament like that and Leon and or Gordy are interested in that and playing at home and we can make it work financially, I mean, I'm always pulling for our teams to not only be in the postseason, but also to be able to host games. But it's got to work for us, and we got to take all those into consideration before we say yes.
Are you willing to lose money to get that done for the program, and how much?
I wouldn't say a lot. You know, if it's
four digits,
if it's minimal, I'm willing to look at something like that because I think you get something out of it.
Right.
You get an extra game, you get more week of practice.
Fans.
You know, a lot of times it might be televised on a second, third, or fourth tier network, which is great getting our team out there. It's great for recruiting. So you make up for that. I don't think you necessarily lose 10,000 and then make 10,000 and put it in the bank. But from an exposure standpoint in recruiting, I think that's where you have to weigh the loss against what that does for your program. And we certainly consider that when making those decisions. So
I'm assuming you have to be proactive and there's deadlines in terms of submitting bids and looking at the protocol of how the NIT does it, how the CBI does it, how the CIT does it. Are there deadlines coming up? You have those conversations already with Coach Rice. And do you kind of know your plan of attack already? Or is that still going to develop over the next couple of weeks?
We've got to make them over the next 30 days. Well, I shouldn't say that, Mike. Over the next two and a half weeks, Leon and I have began to start to talk about that. It's funny, too, when you think about it, a lot of coaches don't want to talk about the CBI when their basketball tournament is still there. They're kind of going, well, yeah, put a bid in there. And, well, I don't want to play in that. I want to get in the tournament. And so you got to be careful there. I think it's the timing of it. Usually it's a very quick decision because our goal is obviously still to be in the NCAA tournament. And if I'm in there talking to our coach about playing in the CBI or the, you know, whatever the tournament might be, you know, he kind of gives me that look like, oh, really? Is this where you think we're going to end up? And I don't want to go that route either. So I got to juggle that a little bit. But over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we've got to make a decision on whether or not we want to host.
A couple years ago, and I didn't like it. Other people did. And I certainly understand Coach Rice's rationale behind it. I think you were still there before you went to Carroll, where he decided not to play. He decided to turn down a postseason bid. Mm-hmm. His team was beat up. He just didn't feel it was in the best interest of his team. I would imagine if that came up again, you would have that conversation. You're always going to support your coach. But, you know, if he came to you and said, I just don't want to play this year, our team's beat up. We've only got 10 guys. 8 of them are limping around. Your thoughts on that?
It's up to Leon. Yeah. Okay. Now, the one thing I will say, if he's demanding something and I'm going, coach, we can't afford to do this, then obviously him and I'd have to come to some agreement. But, you know, what's wrong with him? If he's actually saying, I don't think it's a good idea for our team to play for whatever reason, then I'm certainly going to support him in that.